Our text for this morning, which we'll be considering, comes to us from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Dear friends in Christ, what is the point of a middle name? Well, it turns out, according to a Time magazine article, that the use of middle names has fallen in and out of favor throughout human history. It probably hit its peak sometime around the height of the Roman Empire, when there was one man who is recorded to have had 36 middle names. Now, middle names today often get used for many reasons, to commemorate maybe a family member or a family friend, or in the Catholic Church, many times it's to commemorate a saint. But today, if you're like me, I think you might have grown up thinking that it had something to do with identification, right? A quick Facebook search told me that there are at least 3 Drew Naumanns out there, about 18 Andrew Naumanns, and a totally uncountable number of Drew Newmans. But as far as I could tell, there's only one Drew Michael Nauman. Now, depending on who is saying your name, your full name, that can evoke different emotional responses. If you're walking across the stage at graduation, and someone, the principal, says your full name and hands you a diploma, that's a pretty happy occasion. You're going to be pretty joyful about that. If you're in the backyard and you just punched your sibling, and you hear your dad call your full name, that is going to be a less joyful occasion. It's because when that full name is used, it almost always seems to indicate that that person who is calling it knows something about you. The principal is acknowledging that you got passing grades and have graduated high school or college or whatever it may be. Your father, when he calls your name in the backyard, is announcing that he knows what you did and is calling for you to come and receive your punishment. Well, the devil knows your name as well, your full name. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He knows your name, and he knows your weaknesses. The devil patrols the walls that we set out to guard against sin and temptation, and he knows just where you are weakest, that section of wall that has been completely obliterated by that one sin that you are thinking about right now, or that one section of fence that is made up of duct tape and bubble gum, a mere patchwork because of that sin that you keep coming back to over and over. In the courtroom of heaven, Satan stands as the prosecutor and us as the helpless, guilty defendants. All we can do is recognize that Satan does know our names. He knows everything about us, all of the wrong that we have done, and he knows what our punishment ought to be, the same as his, eternity in hell. Satan knows your name. He calls you by your sin. In contrast, God knew your sin, but he now calls you by your name. Satan accuses you, your first name, your middle name, your last name. You have sinned and are deserving of eternal hellfire and death. Well, Martin Luther had a great response for this accusation when he said, "I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, there I shall be also." God knew your sins as well. He made you, after all, not with your sin. That was entirely a man-made error. But God knew us from eternity, warts and all. Even so, he did not scrap the mankind project, but rather he still formed us. And when mankind did fall in the Garden of Eden, God promised us a Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who would come down to earth and pay the full price for every one of our sins by shedding his innocent blood on the cross. In spite of our uncountable number of transgressions against God, in his great love, he has forgiven us everything for Jesus' sake. God knew your sin. Past tense. That's because the new covenant that God made with his people, which is spoken of in Jeremiah chapter 31, was fulfilled when Christ came and made that sacrifice, so that what the Lord spoke through Jeremiah has come to pass, saying, I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. For Christ's sake, God no longer remembers your sin, and he calls you by your name as his own precious child. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. What a wonderful promise from God, that despite everything, the Good Shepherd claims us as his own. We are his, as Jesus himself described in John 10. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, what does that mean for us going forward from this point? God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Having made us his own children, God protects us as such. He does not say that you will not have trials and tribulations in your life, for we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God, but we will never endure them alone and never in vain. God knows your name. He knows your hardships, your troubles, your heartaches. He uses even these hardships to strengthen your relationship with him. He says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God has called you by your name, and now, as his children, we have the privilege to call him by his name. Jehovah, the I Am God, who delivered Israel from the clutches of the Egyptians, who delivered you from the clutches of your sin, and who delivers us in every distress, and who will never forsake us. Call to him in prayer, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it and is saved. And since God has called each of you specifically by your name, your full name, I'd like to close today's chapel by reading through our text one more time. But every time that the word you is used, I'd like you to insert your full name. Because that is what God is saying in our text, as if it was your specific name written here. We read, but now, thus says the Lord, who created you and who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. What a gracious God that we get to call ours because he has called us his. In Jesus' saving name, amen. We close today singing hymn 37, verses 1 and 2, hymn 37, verses 1 and 2.